What a difference a year makes. You may think not a lot can change in that time, but most programs at Salt Lake Tech can be completed in 6 to 18 months. Last year, I was working odd jobs. This year, I'm building my future with a new career as a certified nursing assistant. Earning a certificate is affordable and flexible and gets me career ready. Explore programs in healthcare, electronics, manufacturing, automotive, and more. Enroll at slcc.edu. Salt Lake Tech, careers that work.
Hey folks, you're about to hear a preview of Partially Examined Life protected content. You can get the full discussion by becoming a supporter through any of the means specified at partiallyexaminedlife.com/support. We've paywalled this particular discussion, not out of a money-making scheme, but just because we are three cis guys and we'd rather our fumblings on this issue be restricted to a sympathetic audience. In addition to the regular ways of becoming a recurring supporter, you can also buy this as a one-time purchase at patreon.com/partiallyexaminedlife. You're listening to The Partially Examined Life, episode 351, part 2. We have been discussing Sophie Grace Chapel's book, Transfigured, as well as this short article, Trans Without the Gender. Well, almost. They're both very recent. We now are without our guest. Reactions to the interview?
We certainly name-dropped enough philosophers for it to qualify. I think we could have pressed harder on a few things, but somehow the vibe didn't feel like that was the right way to go with it, because I do think we should talk a little bit about essentialism here and some other topics that we could have pushed on a little bit. But I thought it was an appropriate level of conversation to introduce the topic and the problematic and some of the political and social issues around it that we can, you know, explore further today and potentially in the future.
We talked a bit about the sort of distinctiveness of her view, especially in the context of other approaches to things like gender studies, or even like the Rowland case that she was reacting against. She's calling herself a kind of classical Aristotelian, sort of. As you pointed out, we didn't sort of press into it a lot, but it is pretty distinctive from the way in which other kinds of identity style discussions would go.
I guess to address the elephant not in the room, we all get some vacations per year. And Wes was looking for an opportunity for something that he would be less excited about. But he's, of course, had a lot to say about trans and essentialism, especially when it comes up. So I was kind of pushing him, like, you should be on this one. I pointed him to some of my notes and a couple of the key passages. And the fact that Sophie said, I have no theory of gender, is what turned Wes off. It's like, there's so much noise in this area. I want somebody that actually has a theory that we could evaluate. And the Rorty-like characteristics, the Wittgensteinian characteristics that I was identifying in here, I think is exactly what turned him off for some of the reasons that we've already seen in his reaction to Rorty, even though clearly Sophie either doesn't know her Rorty very well, or, you know, I think that's probably more likely, but disagrees with the same thing Wes disagrees with about Rorty, right? Is bugged by Rorty for the same reasons that he is.
Oh, she is. She's bugged by Rorty for exactly the same reasons that Wes is. It is distinctive, usually with, especially after the conversation, which I think was a little bit, frankly, more effective at getting more directly at issues than I found the book was. But that's not the whole only aim of the book. Mm-hmm. The book is also extensively autobiographical and sort of phenomenological in that way. The autobiographical parts I found mostly autobiographical with sort of tilts towards phenomenology. And I think that was my impression of the ambition. She's very clear about experience and the importance of that. And something she said in line with Rorty is the notion of individual flourishing on an individual's terms as being the most important component of a life well lived. But the conversation, I think, that we got into more in a condensed fashion about what does it mean to transform? We towed up to that. We didn't talk about that a lot. The language in her book about this is the things that we name as like adopted and then term of a parent and other terms that have a biological connection, but also a social connection.
Yep.
And what it would mean for those kinds of relationships to transform and what that means. And then there was also the other argument of, well, at what point does the physical transformation of anything result in it changing its kind in some decisive way? And we were talking around those things, but those are aspects I think that her book brings up and would be worth pushing on.
I definitely want to spend a little more time talking about the whole, I don't have a gender ideology, but it, you know, like, what's the program? What is she trying to accomplish? Which is, I think, in some sense, just equal treatment, right? Or equal rights, if you will, for trans people. And she, you know, could be claiming, I don't need a theory of gender to do that. So that would be one thing to talk about. And then the other thing, this was something I kind of wanted to talk about, but I was also a little scared to bring up. But, you know, the fundamental premise is, as Dylan said, phenomenological. And I've been characterizing it as essentialist, but basically being embodied in one sex and feeling that you should be embodied in the other sex. I think I'm using sex correctly there as opposed to, but it's unclear to me, and you don't need a theory for this, but you do need to understand gender roles that are commonly assigned to sexes in order to be able to identify that the gender identity or the association that you're feeling is not the association that you, quote unquote, should be feeling given the body that you have. So there has to be some, and maybe this is unobjectionable and I'm just confused, but there has to be some concept of, in her case, you know, girls versus boys in her youth.
The essentially feminine and the essentially masculine. And you want to be, even though you're born masculine, you want to be, you attain that feminism. So yes, they have to be real things.
You're crosswired, and the fact that you're crosswired is an indication that both things are real.
Correct. But here's the point I'm trying to get to. The actual issue is with the treatment, the way in which she was treated by others based on her assigned at birth gender, which was based on her assigned at birth sex. And what I'm wondering is the issue that if a trans person was simply treated the way they identified without regard to their assigned at birth sex, do you need to have the notion? Does it matter, the embodiment?
I think it depends on the individual's experience. And she's very adamant that, like, this is why I'm giving my story and my perception of myself. Other people feel different ways. Other people, like, do not care about the actual physical characteristics. They just want to be treated in this way and partake of the feminine or the masculine, as the case may be.
Okay, I can see that. So you're saying that for some people, that's the crux of the issue. And for other people, the body really is essential to the...
Yeah, because some people don't even care. I don't care what you think. I guess that's an extreme case. If you really didn't care what other people think, you could still be very bummed out about your own physicality. But is that something that, unless it was being reinforced in social ways, if you really had no connection to the social, right? Could you be on an island alone and still have a sense of body dysphoria? It seems like, yes, you could, but there's a question of how much do you care? Clearly, she felt a sense from being a child of body dysphoria, but has not seen fit to go the whole surgery route and things like that, but said, like, well, if I had been given this opportunity when I was entering puberty to avoid that, the male puberty, probably would have gone with it. So I think it's partially like, you know, for her, when did she figure this out? And what seemed like, you know, maybe if you have the conflicting goals, as she said, to like have kids, but also be physically female and you got to pick one, I think that would just be a difficult thing. Mm. Usually conversations like this start with trying to get really clear on sex versus gender, you know, so a really baseline distinction might just be a position might just be, well, of course, physical sex can't literally change, right? Even if you undergo surgery or something and you undergo hormones, like, okay, well, maybe we can argue that that is a change, but then what seems to matter, like at least as when we're reading Judith Butler or something, was the social aspect.
So Sophie disagrees with this. This is her eight plus eight enunciated things that she has many more. It was close to the end where she's just saying, here are these eight. There are surely more. At what point is there a transformation?
So it's a cluster concept. And as a good Wittgensteinian, which I think she is, you should be able to say, okay, there's something kind of arbitrary about where we make the cutoff. Like you've had this and this and this physical transformation. Are you going to admit that I'm now female? Or are you going to say, well, no, unless you had those chromosomes in the first place, that since it is in some way arbitrary, the natural kind does not definitively say, oh, this is the cutoff, then it's just obnoxious to insist on the chromosomal thing, right? When, as she said, you know, you could have somebody that is completely physical, like if a new person met you post-surgery, they would not have any idea that you used to be a different biological sex. In other words, you completely pass, then wouldn't we want to say for almost every, again, there might be certain genetic, what's your risk for this kind of disease? Then you have to tell your doctor, okay, biologically, I don't even know if particular diseases, if this is like a more male dominant disease, is that because they have male hormones? In which case the transition one would be subject to that. It's just, you could imagine there'd be some biological reason why you would still have to affirm your birth sex.
Well, I'll just give you an example, right? There are known differences in a manifestation of physical disease and disabilities and stuff like that, that go not just based on gender, but based upon other things, based on race, based upon where people live. It's already been the case that one of the challenges in medicine and in biological research is the predominance historically of using just male mice. Okay, so the reason that you would just use only male mice for these things is because you really control the cohort, right? They breed them for very specific things. But it turns out to be a problem because there are things that are associated that a female mouse would be a better model for. And this goes all the way to even like clinical studies on a variety of things that are, you know, women manifest different kinds of diseases differently, the same kinds of diseases, but they manifest them differently than men. Women classically have heart attacks very differently than men do. If you had a study where you were trying to suss this out, it would be important that you not have trans women in your cohort. And what I would say, it becomes another category then, because you have somebody who has a different physical makeup that's not the same. It's at least a third physical makeup, especially if they're, you know, taking hormones and stuff like that. You know, that's going to affect the way some of these things, but you wouldn't do a study.
Sure.
Of a population like that.
That's similar to the example with the adoptive parents, that when they ask for medical history,
it is.
You say, hey, you know, we don't know, or yep, for whatever reason. And I think that's actually a really interesting question, particularly in the context of all the hubbub about competition in sports.
Hope you enjoyed the preview. If you want to hear more of this, go to partiallyexaminedlife.com/support. You'll see several ways there of accessing our entire library of protected content. Or for this discussion only, you can go to patreon.com/partiallyexaminedlife and buy the episode individually. Before I let you go, I wanted to address one more issue. Just in the episode title, the use of the word transgender as a noun. This is actually Sophie's use. She says, hey, gender is a noun. Transgender can also be a noun. She likes that better than the alternatives of transsexuality or transgenderism. But in any case, it refers to the phenomena of transgender, not to individuals. You would not say, hey, you're a transgender. That would be weird and offensive. Okay, thanks everybody. So long.
What a difference a year makes. You may think not a lot can change in that time, but most programs at Salt Lake Tech can be completed in 6 to 18 months. Last year, I was working odd jobs. This year, I'm building my future with a new career as a certified nursing assistant. Earning a certificate is affordable and flexible and gets me career ready. Explore programs in healthcare, electronics, manufacturing, automotive, and more. Enroll at slcc.edu. Salt Lake Tech, careers that work.